Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, the ages of all ages, amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the Holy Lent, and we see the main message the Lord Jesus gave this man today. He told him something of extreme importance, and it's the same message for us today. He tells him after he heals him, and he finds him in the temple, he says to him, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." And we wonder, why does the Lord say that? Usually when he speaks to these people that he heals, he says stuff like, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," or "Go and sin no more." He gives them this message and he sends them off. But with this particular man, he told him, "Lest the worst thing come upon you." What could be worse? What could be worse? I mean, the Lord is obviously indicating that there was something in this man's lifestyle that led to his illness. And his illness continues to be a possibility of return. It's like someone who doesn't take care of their health, even if the doctor says, "Well, okay, you're okay now," if you're not careful, and if you don't watch this or watch that or these levels, you could have a relapse and get sick again. It's possible. So it's the same message for us. We have to consider and ask ourselves, what is it that we do with our life that could be worse? Of course, there's nothing worse than finding ourselves in a situation where we are living in sin. Because living in sin means living in hell already. It's already a preparation for the end. Struggling against sin is preparation for eternity. And that's up to each individual. Every single one of us has a choice to make when it comes to that. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to do with our life every day? So when he says to him, "Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you," it's basically the Lord inviting him to follow him into something greater. He's telling him, "You want to now go." He says, "Go." This "go" is a call to action. When you tell someone "go," what's happening with the word "go"? It means go somewhere, do something. So now that you've been healed, you have to go ahead and do something. What will you do? What do you want to do? This is basically what the Lord is telling him. If he says "go," it means he's sending him off. Sending him off to do what? Now, depending on his choice, what he sends him off to do will either lead him into worse or into better. There's no such thing as in between. If anyone here thinks that we can live in some sort of, you know, limbo where I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm not really improving, I'm just the same, you're lying to yourself. This is one of the biggest lies and deceptions this world is living in currently, where we think that, "Well, I'm not doing anything wrong," or "I'm not any worse than so-and-so." But how are you feeling? Are you improving? "Well, no, I'm the same, you know, nothing's really changing." This is a big sham. Be careful. There's no such thing. You either go and follow Jesus into more, or you go and go further from Jesus in the process. It's one or the other. There is no gray zone with Jesus. There really isn't. So it's the Lord is asking him, "Are you ready for change?" Basically, it's an invitation to change. It's an invitation that now that I've healed you, or now that you've offered repentance, what will you do? What will your lifestyle become? My life can no longer be what it was. Now that I've met Jesus, now that I've encountered Jesus, now that I have a living relationship with Jesus, now that He's inviting me to worship Him in spirit and truth, because He is spirit and truth, then my life can no longer be the same. And anyone, especially, the most in danger with this are the Christians, by the way. We are the ones that are most in danger with this, because we can sometimes appease our consciences by saying, well, I went to church on Sunday. I gave food to the poor. I'm fasting for Lent. I'm preparing for Easter. All that is beautiful. Congratulations. So are millions of others who call themselves Christians. The Lord said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. So the righteousness of the Pharisees was a religious adherence. Hey, I go to church. Hey, I give my tithes to the poor. Hey, hey, hey. And it's a defense mechanism. Hey, there's no hey with Jesus. That is a huge deception as well. Be careful with that. The Lord is calling us to change our ways and live with Him in spirit and truth every day of our lives. In the book of Revelation, it says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Come out of her house. So we're supposed to leave Montreal? We're supposed to leave the province, leave the country? No. We are called to be full and active citizens of our great nation, but in Christ. In Christ, not outside of Him. There was a time where you could tell, people used to say, that's a Christian. You know what? Look at that one over there. That's a Christian. How do you know? There's something about them. They used to say that. There's something about them. There's some sort of aura, a grace. You can tell she is a Christian. She has to be. He, oh no, he's a Christian. But that was a long time ago. Nowadays, it's hard to tell, right? We can't tell. Everyone looks the same. Everyone dresses the same, whether well or not well, decently or undecently. The same perfumes, the same colognes, the same makeups, the same hairdos, the same cars, the same trucks, the same houses. We have all been blended together. It's hard to tell the difference. Now, this is not about cars and trucks and clothing and perfume, but it's about the grace of God, which emanates from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's not a religious adherence, an appearance. It doesn't work like that. It takes a form of separation. Dedication requires separation. If you want to dedicate your life to Jesus, then there has to be a separation from certain things that we consider to be okay. Like St. Augustine once says, not everything what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular. Beware of that as well. It says in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? St. Paul is asking us, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Certainly not, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How? He's saying, like people are saying, you know what? Well, God is merciful and is forgiving and it's okay and you make mistakes. Yeah, that's true. But that doesn't mean that's a, you know, some sort of, you know, free, get out of jail free card. This is a call to grow greater in my life with Jesus. It's a call for greater. He says we can no longer live in it. We can struggle against it. Absolutely. Do we struggle? Absolutely. Is anyone here not a sinner? No one. Everyone should be struggling. But to live in it, that's not the same thing as struggling against it. He also says in the same chapter, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing or done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin or enslaved to sin. I'm sure a lot of you remember this scene. This scene is from the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson many years ago. It's the scene of the woman that was caught in adultery, and they brought her to the feet of Jesus, saying, teacher, Moses says we ought to stone this woman for her sin. And when he basically got rid of them all, he asked her, where are your accusers? Does anyone condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't tell her what he told the guy today. He didn't tell her, lest the worst thing come upon you, because it was obvious that this woman was touched deeply in her heart by Jesus Christ, and her life was never going to be the same again. Never. She would be caught dead before caught in adultery, because her life has changed. Her life has changed for the better. talked about this saint today, Saint Mary of Egypt. Do you hear better with this microphone or the other one? I'm feeling some sort of breaking. Saint Mary of Egypt was commemorated today. She's another fantastic example of someone who went and sinned no more. Her life was changed, 180. But was it going to be easy? Of course not. 17 years living in sin, then 17 years struggling against the exact same sins. It used to be with others, now it was one-on-one combat with the devil in the wilderness. One-on-one combat. But in reality, it wasn't one-on-one because the grace of God was with her every second of the way, as He promises to be with us every second of the way. Because there was a strict resolve in her heart. She says, I will not be caught dead this way again. I mean, I'd rather be caught dead than to be caught in that lifestyle again. She lived for decades in struggle, but she became a saint because she was called to be a saint to begin with. Just like you and I are called to be saints to begin with. This is our invitation. This is our calling. St. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, so I'm still in the flesh, I'm still a human being. But that life I now live in faith, or by faith in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's that constant awareness and recognition that Jesus died for me, loves me, will always love me, and has invited me to greater things. That lifestyle of, I look like a Christian, but inside there are things that I would not want to expose to the rest of the Christian world. These things are inhibitors. These things are impeding our progress. You and I need to grow to a level of sanctity by the Holy Spirit, which would mean that whether there is 100 people looking at me or 0 people looking at me, it is me and Jesus all the time, 24/7. Me and Jesus all the time. This is basically what people like Mary of Egypt, the woman caught in adultery, and countless others have done. So they weren't told, lest the worst thing come upon you, because they don't even want what was now, or of course anything worse. They have found the Lord, and they're not going to let go of Him. St. Paul explains this to us. He says, then what is the point of all this? Why? Why is this such a big deal? In Romans chapter 8, he says, for whom He foreknew, which means everyone, because there's no one that comes into this world without the foreknowledge of God, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So He, by rising from the dead, is the firstborn of the resurrection, the firstborn for all over all creation. And we are called to walk into that glory. We are all predestined to this. But it's a matter of choice. What will we choose? There has to be a lifestyle change. It says in Matthew chapter 21, and this was in this morning's Matins Gospel, the Lord tells them, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. Who will produce its fruit. The Lord is looking for fruit. That's why St. John the Baptist says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. If you have truly repented, if your lifestyle has changed, prove it. This is what it means. Not to the world. That's going to happen anyway. Prove it to yourself and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Prove it when no one is looking. Prove it when it's just you and Him, because it's always first and foremost just you and Him. St. Isaac tells us, I give praise to your holy nature. He praises God's nature and he says, Lord, for you have made my nature a sanctuary. You have created us to be temples of your Holy Spirit. For your hiddenness and a tabernacle for your mysteries. We become an altar. Every time you come and partake of his body and blood, you are a hidden tabernacle for Christ. A place where he can dwell. And a holy temple for your divinity. That's what happens when you come out of the waters of baptism. You are buried with him, and all the evil is done away with because you are buried with Christ, and you rise out of those waters a new creation. It's a mystery. by the water and by the Holy Spirit. We're called to be temples of His holy divinity. That's why when the Lord was talking with Nicodemus, He says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must come out of those waters a new creation. You must be born again, which means that now I'm born. So it's like we have a baby born, let's say. Baby was delivered at a hospital. Wonderful. Now this baby is here. What's going to happen with this baby? There has to be a growth and a succession in this change. They're not going to be a baby anymore. Day one, day two, day three, 100 years, an eternity. That's it. They're never going to go backwards. They only go forward. But they have to go forward in a different light. They have to go forward differently. And people think, well, it's too hard. Don't lie to yourself. You have been created for greater things than you can imagine. St. Anthony says, if you wish, you can be a slave of passions. And if you wish, you can remain free and not submit to their yoke. For God has created you with that power. God created you in His image, which means He created you and has given you by His Holy Spirit, by His death and resurrection, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. That's why He can tell us this in the Old Testament, and the disciples can reiterate it and say, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Be complete in Christ. There has to be a change. It's a lifestyle change. It's not a religious adherence. Don't settle for that. You're not going to be satisfied, by the way. If you settle for some sort of religious adherence, you will never be fulfilled nor satisfied. You are constantly, your soul, which is created in the image of your Creator, is constantly seeking for greater. That's the appetite, right? That's why when you eat something, are you ever satisfied? Is it ever enough? No, we want more. Because the appetite is infinite, because your soul is infinite, and the Creator who is infinite, who created you in His image, in His love, in His likeness. Therefore, you're always seeking for better and greater. This is only going to be natural. Nothing on this earth is going to fulfill that void, ever, ever. It says, 1 John tells us, "Everyone who is born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother." Another version, just to clarify it a bit, says, "Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning." There's a lifestyle change, because God's life is in them. The Holy Spirit is in them. He dwells in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously, who practices a lifestyle of Christian walk, does not belong to God, and does not love other believers, cannot belong to God. It's a very serious challenge, but it's so worthwhile and it's so feasible by Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed this for us before He was arrested. He was exhausted and starving and hungry and tired and preparing to be crucified in hours from this moment. And He said, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." You are kept by the power of God. You and I are kept by the power of God. So St. Peter finishes today's Catholic letter and says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grow in it. Continue to grow in it. Don't settle for less than it. I leave you with a passage from St. Paul, who tells us in another way how this is so important. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men and wise women. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" What am I saying then? St. Paul said, do you understand what I'm saying? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. This is St. Paul's way of saying, we don't have, you can do this and can't do that. It's not one or the other. It's once you have embarked in that adventure of growing in an icon, a living saint, a living icon of Christ, yeah, you can do anything, but will you? You're going to tell him, wait a minute, I'm going to calculate this. Does this bring me to Him or further away? Because it's one or the other, like we said earlier. It cannot be a mix of both. There cannot be collusion or some sort of mixture or blending. There's no blending. There is a walk in Christ and being Him to every soul on earth. But in here, there's no mixing. You're in the world, not of it. This is what he's trying to say. All things are lawful, but will they edify you? Make a choice. Is this thing that you're about to embark on, to think, to do, to feel, is it going to bring you closer to Jesus or further? It's one step front or one step back. It's not, oh, it's just in the middle. Nobody noticed. Yes, you noticed. He noticed as well. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.